afternoon we are speaking about other. Then I branched off to diffusing problems. So many aspects of other revolves around usage. How people use the word and how people practice it. So the idea is that people show a certain level of respect and they feel relaxed with that. So then that will be called other. They show respect, they feel comfortable, and in the process you're not disturbing or hurting any person physically or emotionally. Now look at it. The Quran Sharif is placed here, right? And you sit down here. Will that be called adab? You say bear that, isn't it? Now the Quran Sharif is placed here and now you stood up. Will that be called adab or bear adab? Adab. So what's the difference? See? Usage. This is how it's understood. People feel relaxed, comfortable, and where you avoid hurting anybody, then that's also an element of adab. How do you speak? Like, it's an elder, right? So how do I address the elder? I say, call him by his name. So he may not tell you anything if you call him by his name, but is that the right way? He's an elder, so use some word of respect. Whichever word or whichever title he is known by, like about Haji Sahib, Haji Duma Sahib. So he started with us from the very beginning, from 86 somewhere. So then from long time thing, he doesn't call him, he doesn't know the Hafiz or the Mulana, but a Qari Sahib. So say, just call him Haji Sahib. But in my mind, he hasn't made Hajj yet. Now, Bukhari Sahib is called on Bab. If the person doesn't deserve the title, then you call him by the title. And then he quoted the hadith, Ya Aba Umair Ma Fa'alan Nuwair. So Umair was how small as them, small like small child. So can he be Aba Umair? Can't be a father. But Nabi Sam addressed him, Ya Aba Umair. And then Allah had it that then after about 20 years he may touch them. And he may touch with his family. So the title of respect for that person, his seniority, his elder, right? Like now for a person like Chota Mota, right? So my father was elder than him. So if he spoke to him like say Chota, it's alright. Because they grew up and they grew up like that. Like Chota Mota will feel awkward if you call him Chota Mota. Yeah. But if I see my father talking like that and I imitate him, is that right? Then as though I'm keeping Chota Mota as an equal, then is that right? It's not right. So these are simple aspects of adab. How do we address people? Just that address can change the person's mind. He feels comfortable, He feels he's appreciated. He feels that he's respected. The other way, you're impressing upon him that, see, don't take me as a nipper. I'm at your level. So you try to impress with the person. But he doesn't want to be impressed. If this person doesn't know etiquette, doesn't have no respect. Then these words of adab can change from time to time. The words can change. Right? Nowadays, an elder will say uncle. Going to Uncle Ismail's place, Uncle Yusuf's place. But when we are children, the word uncle and auntie was for a non-Muslim. I can remember distinctly, if it's a Muslim, we'd say Haji Sahab, Mota, Chacha, if a Muslim. A non-Muslim, then we say uncle or auntie. Right? But now I think this whole thing has changed. So what was then in our childhood, the usage was something else, and now the usage has changed. Now you got the word, for example, Jalla Jalal, right? You got Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You got Sallam. Then you got Radiyallahu. Then you got Rahmatullah Ali, right? Then you got Damat Barakatum. Then you got Sallamahu, right? So all are used for different. Jalla Jalalu is exclusive for Allah Ta'ala. Jalla Jalal means majesty, right? Now, majesty can also be used for a person. His majesty so and so can be used. But now, the usage has got it that this word is exclusive to Allah Ta'ala. Now if I say Ismail Jalla Jalalu, now, will it work right here? Won't work right. Because the usage has got it that now this is only for Allah to be used, only to Allah Ta'ala. Either people won't take it well, or in time to come you can confuse people. Can't you confuse? But this title is used for Allah Ta'ala. Why are they using it for? Islam doesn't like to complicate and confuse minds. Right. Like for example, you finish with the burial, right? You can and you may raise your hands and make dua, right? There are hadiths in Muslim Sharif. I think about 3 hadiths, right? Rafa'a yadayhi summa da'a. Again, Rafa'a yadayhi summa da'a. So there are some hadiths, right? But now you're in a situation now, there are Muslim, non-Muslims around, right? And you're going to want Pir Sahib's mazar. Right? And you're going to be raising your hands. What would be the impression? What would be the impression? That you're asking him for some assistance. So that non-Muslim will say, but what's the difference between us and you? You're also praying to a creation, and you're also praying to a creation. So what's the difference? So aren't you going to confuse him? So Islam doesn't want you to confuse matters. Though in that context it was permissible, here you're going to raise your hands, it's going to create some confusion, right? So avoid that confusion, right? That is why Islam also says that you will not make sajda to any person besides Allah Ta'ala. لَا تَجُدُوا لِلشَّمْسِ وَلَا لِلْقَمَرِ. Nothing. The greatest visible thing to our sight is the sun, right? Not even the sun. So sajda is only for Allah Ta'ala. Right? So although at a certain time bowing down and making sajda was permissible. Right? The malaika made sajda to Adam alayhi salam, didn't they make it? Then you would see that it was sajda ta'zimi, just to show that as a token of respect, not sajda as an ibadat. You would say that. Again, Yusuf alayhi salam's brothers, Rafa Abawayhi al Arshi wa kharru lahu sujjada. He raised his father. He recognized the person according to his position, right? So he placed him on the throne, and then all the brothers, they made sajda to Yusuf alayhi salam. So he showed the respect, a distinct respect to Yaqub alayhi salam, the father, and his parents, and then all show respect to Yusuf alayhi salam. Says, can you see that? So you will elevate a person according to his status. For a certain status in community, you show him that level of respect. Understand how community deals with him. It was on Mulana Habibur Rahman. They used to call him Ra'isul Ahrar, right? He's a murid of Mawlana Raipuri Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. And Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali, Mawlana Raipuri, and this Ra'isul Ahrar were all seated, right? One place. In the meanwhile, one leader of the league, see the time was two political parties, league and congress, right? So there was a rivalry. Well, there's another story now why, but there was a rivalry between the league and the congress, right? But now, this Ra'isul Ahrar was like more towards the congress. So when this leader of the league came in, the Sheikh Imam Raipuri Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, they stood up to receive him, right? And Mawlana Habibur Rahman, he remained seated. Alright, they discussed whatever, and he left. So, Ra'isul Ahrar was an active politician as well. So, after he left, so this Ra'isul Ahrar, Mawlana Habibur Rahman Sahib, he's speaking now, he says to his Shaykh Marai Puri and Hazrat Shaykh Amrai that the right thing for me was to stand up as my elders stood up to receive this league member. But I remain seated by because there's a hadith, Man taza'aza'a livaniyin zahaba sulusu dini, right? That the person that humbles himself for a wealthy person, then one third of his deen has collapsed. Right? You humble yourself for a wealthy person, then one third of your deen has collapsed. Right? Father Shaykh Ahmad said, alright, this one hadith. There's another hadith which says, "Akrimu karima kulli qawmi." That respect the leader of every community. What? Respect the leader of every community. Mawlana Raipuri Rahman says, there is a contradiction now. One hadith is saying that you respect a wealthy person, then one third of your deen has collapsed, right? And the other hadith says that respect the leader of every community. So how do you reconcile? And Raipuri Sahib is asking, as a Shaykh Ramadari, how do you reconcile? And the Shaykh Ramadari told Raipuri, I've got an answer. But if I'm wrong, tell I'm wrong. Right? Don't say Jesus. Don't say that. If I'm wrong, you must tell me he's wrong. Or I put him and said, see, if you're wrong, if you're right, right, I have to say Jesus. I can't say you're wrong. If you're right, but see how they talk so nicely, free and respect. Right. If you're right, I have to say Jesus. I can't say no. Or how can I say no? Anyway, I'll show you how to say this. This one hadith said, "Man taza'za li ghaniyin zahaba sulusu dini." There's another hadith, "Man zahaba, man taza'za li ghaniyin li ghinahu zahaba sulusa dini." Zaba Sulusadini. And the third hadith, Akrimu Karima Kulli Khawm. So now understand all the three hadiths in perspective. That's why I say, why this pushing one hadith a week and all that is not the right thing. Unless it doesn't require any explanation. All right, after Maghrib Namaz, read Allahumma Ajirni Minan Nar 7 times. Finish. It doesn't necessarily any elucidation. That's straightforward. But it needs an elucidation, then don't just quote that. You'll create confusion in people's minds. Right? So, as the Shaykh explained, see, one is taza'za and one is ikram. Literally, both got different meanings. Right. Tazaza is to do with the heart, right? And ikram is a physical demonstration. It's not from the heart, right? So what this hadith is saying, that you must show an outer respect for the leader of every community, outwardly. Right. That means you haven't bowed down for his position or for his wealth. You haven't bowed down. And but the person who bows down for the person's wealth, taza'za li ghaniyin li ghinahu, right? You respected him for his wealth. Because he's a motan, right? This one, yeah. A taik. He's coming along, eh? You know what he owns? He's come to our place. So now, because of his wealth now, you were overawed and you showed him some level of respect, right? Because of his wealth. Then your deen has got affected. Right? And if it is that you respected the person just because he's a man of standing, a man has got some standing in community, right? Because he's got a standing in community, therefore you stood out of respect for the person, right? Islam encourages this. Islam doesn't condemn that. Right? I ask you, if you are seated, right, in your office, right, and Mr. Rama comes, right, you remain seated. Rama just sat down, sits around there. Will you do that? You won't do that. You will show some level of respect, isn't it? Although he's not a Muslim, but you're going to show him some level of recognition. Aren't you going to do that? So then, what your deen has been affected now? Islam is teaching you that he's a man of position, then show him some outer respect. Not that now your heart is totally melted in his presence. You know, heart is just, you know. And that etiquette is a great thing here, because if it's a man of position, right, got influence and position, and you didn't show him some external respect, then you're asking for problems, aren't you asking? Aren't you asking for problems? So, to avoid any problems, you're showing some outer respect, not that your heart is humbled for him, for his wealth. No. It's not that because of his wealth and you feel nothing. No, not because of that. But you've got a position, and if you're not going to show that respect, then perhaps you can cause problems for me. Right. So now, like how you see a police officer, right? Traffic officer, and you're wrong, right? So, you don't want to say, Johnny, hey, make a plan now. Or the coke and all that. You won't say that. You jump off the car, say, boss, man, you know, made a mistake, man. You know, how things are, you know, especially one wedding or something. Right? So you're saying, boss, something, you know, sir, boss, or something, you see. But, is he your boss, man? He's not your boss. But you show him some type of respect to avoid any problems. Now, if you're not going to show respect, then you saw that now. You are, say, 50 years old. He's a traffic cop. So you call him, yeah, fun and gaiety. What will you do? What's mean fun and gaiety? My man, yeah. You'll take it right. You won't take it right. Right? So now, what word is to be used in what context? How it is to be used? So that's called respect. That's called adab. Right? And the aspects of adab can change from person to person, from time to time, from place to place. Right? And I was studying Dioban, so at that time there were quite a few Malaysian students, right? So one Indian student, he put his hand onto the Malaysian student's shoulder. So the Malaysian student warned him, said, you come to Malaysia, don't do this. See, you don't do this. Because by us, you put your hand on the person's shoulder, and you're asking for a fight. Now see, there the usage is different. The whole muhawara is different. And here it's like a friend, you know. The whole usage is different. See, so from place to place it can be different. Person to person, time to time can be different. One Basa uncle, early days, 60, 70, even during Jamaat. I was returning. So that time you return from Bombay. Right? So as he took a taxi to the airport, as he's driving through, so he saw on the one end, so Basa's bottle store. So he told his taxi, hey, let's stop here. Give me a connection. I was conscious. Really scolding. What is he doing? What is he doing here? So he stopped the taxi. What are you doing? I'm selling used bottles. So our understanding of a bottle store is different, and their understanding of a bottle store is different. Can you see that? Now if you don't know the understanding, are you doing the right thing? So you must know what implications it's got. Here it's got a different implication. Here it's got a different implication. How they use it. Understand that. The tone in which you speak, the choice of your words, the mannerisms and etiquettes. Islam shows a lot of importance on these things here. Choice of the words, right? You can say, for example, about your mother, that this is my father's girlfriend. Right? You can say that, isn't it? Is it wrong? Is it a lie? But how will it be taken? Will it be an insult, an abuse, or a word of respect? But if the son turns around, but mine is your friend, so why do you take exception? See the usage. The usage, how important the usage is. Know what word is to be used at which occasion. So one person uses the word, it's all right. If it's your friend, and the friend is telling you, smile, let's move. But your son hears that, now can he use that word? He can't use that word. Though that word is right, but for that child to use that word for you is incorrect. So you see that I started off the Jalla Jalalu. This is exclusive to Allah Ta'ala, nobody else. So that there's no complication, no doubt in any person's mind. Right? Then you get a title, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, right? Now, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is exclusive to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. No other Nabi. You don't say Ibrahim, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Yusuf, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam say. Now, this title is exclusive for Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But now, someone may ask, that the Quran Sharif says, Khudh min amwalihim sadaqatan tutahhiruhum wa tuzakkihim biha wa salli alayhim. Can you see that? So Rasulullah is asked to send salawat, right, to people, right? Khudh min amwalihim sadaqatan tutahhiruhum wa tuzakkihim wa salli alayhim, right? So now the answer for that is quite easy. The answer for that is that Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is the right of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It's my right. So Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has the right to pass his right, to share the right with someone else. Because it's my right. It's my right, I can share some with you. So he's got that. But is that your right? It's not your right. When it's not your right, then you can't share it. But if it is that you are speaking about Anbiya in general, so you say, Ibrahim wa ala nabiyyina alayhi salatu wassalam. Right. So if you spoke about other Anbiya and you link them with, you join them with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then you may use the word sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because then, in essence, you are using a title for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But because you are speaking about other Anbiya, so you are linking them up. They were not the original, Nabi Sam was the original, and here you are linking them up and you are joining the title. See how it goes. Then the third title is Alayhi Salam. Right? So Alayhi Salam is exclusive for all the Anbiya Alayhi Salam. Now, unfortunately, the Shias have mixed it up, right? So they may say Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, right? Imam Hussein, right? They would mix it up, right? So again, it becomes more important now to understand these terms. Otherwise, there is a type of conformity between you and they, right? You're conforming with them. With their styles. And we want to be distinct. Otherwise, everything will get mixed up. Won't it get mixed up? And people start getting confused. Then why did you use the word Alayhi Salam for a non-Nabi, Hazrat Ali, Al Hussein, Imam Mahdi? Why did you use the word? Does it create a confusion or not? It creates a confusion. Right. Like the word Imam, right? Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein, right? When you are using these words, now we don't realize that discreetly we are at some level we are agreeing with the agreeing with the thinking of the Shias, because the Shias, they talk about the 12 Imams, right? Now we call them as Imams. So aren't we agreeing with them? You never hear anybody saying, Imam Abu Bakr, Imam Umar, did you hear that? Right. Do you see that? So there's going to be some semblance with them. And with the semblance, after some time, things are going to get complicated. So Islam doesn't want complications. Show it clear. No complication, no confusion, no ishtiba. Clear. So, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then you got alayhi salam. Right? So now, in that is there going to be any complication, any doubt. Then you got the word radiyallahu anhum wa radu'an, right? Then radiyallahu anhum wa radu'an, then that title is exclusive to the Sahaba Kiram. Right? And because Allah Ta'ala has conferred that title to them, right? Radiyallahu anhum, right? But now someone can say, alright, but the Quran in places has used that word radiyallahu anhum or radu'an for others besides the Sahaba Kiram as well. Right? Like you say, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمْ خَيْرُ الْبَرِيَّةِ, right? جَزَاؤُهُمْ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ جَنَّاتٌ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا. Then, radiyallahu anhum wa radu'an, isn't it? So it's a general statement, including the general Muslim. But the Muslim world, when they hear radiyallahu anhum, who are they referring to? They're referring to the Sahaba Ikram. So now don't create confusion between the Sahaba and non-Sahabi. So the title for Sahabi, radiyallahu anhum, let's keep it there. You will avoid any complication. Then, number four is it's a pious person, right? And a pious person has gone into the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. Then we say, Rahmatullah Ali. In Dioban, my Sati used to be Mawlana Rahmatullah Kashmiri. I must have heard of him, right? So, many times in class, we'll be sitting together. So one day I asked him, just for example, now you became a buzrug, right? And then you passed away. Then what must tell you now? Rahmatullah, Rahmatullah Ali. And Allah made him a buzrug, didn't he? So the word Rahmatullah is for a non-Nabi, non-Sahabi. So you won't use the word Rahmatullah for a Sahabi. Although in essence, the word is right. Is there anything wrong in the word? But we won't use it for Sahaba. We'll use it for a non-Sahabi. Right? And although the word Rahmatullah can be applicable to a living person as well. Can it be? Like we say, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. You use that only for the dead or for living also. For the living also, well. But now, the community has got it. The Muslims has got it. That this is only for a person deceased. And the word rahmatullah, not for everybody. Only a person that is outstanding in piety. Outstanding. Everybody says, my father, rahmatullah. His uncle, rahmatullah, right? Then the exclusivity, let it remain. No. So it's a person with outstanding qualities of piety, then use the word Rahmatullah for him. Right? You see? That's the fourth category. Right? Then for the person that is living, then you use the word Damat Barakatum, Hafizallah, this type of words. Right? But the person is living. Right? Though you can use the same word for the dead person, Damat Barakatum, that is, Barakat, may Allah allow you to carry on. It can be used for a person that is living as well, or dead as well, but it's not used for the dead person. Right? Like Rahmatullah is not used for a living person. You won't say, Mawlana Junaid Rahmatullah is coming to give us a bayan. But the word in itself, is it wrong? It's not wrong. But see the usage. But you see the sight and the thing of this fuqaha. How is this thing? They made it so clear for us. No need for any complicated. Don't make your own stories. Just follow them. All the standards are very well thought of. Thought of, understood, this sight, this vision, this understanding there. So all we need to do is just follow them. Don't bring your own things. You see. Then, I showed you five levels, right? Of the sixth level. Sixth level is for a contemporary, a sati, you know? Right? You're sati and you're talking, you're addressing him, you're writing a letter, right? So in writing a letter for someone that's your contemporary or your age, then the word you use, zid the majdukum, what? Is your age. So use the word, zid the majdukum, right? So everybody knows that. Is your age, right? And then you speak to him in these words, zid the majdukum. What is that person that you are talking to, right, or you're addressing, or you're writing a letter to? He's younger than you, far, significantly younger, right? Then you use the word, سَلَّمَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى. سَلَّمَهُ. Okay. So it's all understood now, that this is for a person that is distinctly younger than you, that you don't use the word, زِيْزَ مَجْتُكُمْ, use the word, سَلَّمَهُ. You see how the fuqaha, how they cleared the whole thing, right? Left no room for any confusion and any complication, right? So now, this revolves around usage and how people understand, right? And we need to know how people understand things, right? And then take a cue from that, right? Although I explained also that what was in vogue in the day of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we have a liking for it. We have a love for it, a regard for it, a respect for it, right? And we'll try and emulate it as well. Like I said, right, to keep yourself warm, you may use a jacket, and you can also use a shawl, right? But because the shawl was something that was worn in the day of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then you will show more regards to that. Not that it's impermissible, but you'll have a liking for that. Where you can, you will use that, right? You can, you will use that. Why? It was something that was worn and used in the day of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So, and I used to see when I was in India, all our elders, they won't wear jackets, right? Maybe on a cold day, some of them may have a jersey, but more or less all will have shawls. On a cold day also, they'll have shawls, right? You know that brown color shawl? Yeah. So all of them will wear shawls, right? Shawls, and very seldom you'll find them wearing a woolen hat. They will tie that amam or something, but in a way it's tied, that it serves better than a woolen hat. There is style to tie that rumal onto the head that will serve better than a woolen hat. But now the woolen hat now is like a easy way. You know, just put it. This thing will take you at least 1 minute to tie, fasten around your head, right? So now the easy way out is just put a woolen hat, right? But that which was worn and used in the day of Islam would be best. We have a liking for it, we try and imitate that, right? And sometimes now we're not in the position to do it, right? Out of laziness or out of need, right? Out of need or out of laziness, we can't do it, right? We still regard that to be the better thing than what you're doing at the time of need, right? Now, for example, in the day of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they will be traveling on camels, horse, mules. This was the mode of transport, right? So we'll say in our hearts, we like that, and we wish we can do that. But now we can't manage it because the roads, they won't allow it, right? We're on the national roads, will they allow it? They wouldn't love it, right? The grief of Hajj, right? The better thing was a camel. Camel back, horse back. Now, we've got our limitations and our weaknesses. We won't be able to manage it, right? So when we won't be able to manage it, we're using it. But we keep it on our mind, that is the better thing. That's the best way. Because it was in the day of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It was something that was used by Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So there can't be anything better than that. So we love that. We'll aim for that. But now, sometimes our weakness, sometimes our laziness, that we're not going for it. But the good in that would be, when you have that type of a mind, then the good in that would be that we won't be boasting with our jackets. You see, brand names, Nike. We won't boast with that, right? If we are pleased about something, then that which was in the day of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, or that is closest to him, right? بِفَضْلِ wa bi rahmatihi, فَبِذَلِكَ فَلْيَفْرَهُ. You rejoice with the grace of Allah Ta'ala and the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. What is meant by the grace and the mercy is the Quran and the Hadith. So, in which things are you supposed to be rejoicing? In the teaching and the ways of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the Sahaba Kiram. Not things that came after, see, like this. Right? You're not supposed to be rejoicing and proud about this thing. Yes, that which was in his day worn and adopted by him, that will have a liking. We want to use it. If we can, we'll try. But that's the line to go, and that's the thing that will show muhabbat from our hearts. See, now that way the deen goes straight. Otherwise, today's a jacket. Tomorrow will be a cap, huh? Then there will be a t-shirt. Then, with the passage of time, you will lose your whole identity. Right? Now, you can't make out. One man came after the madrasa some days back. So, he didn't have a topi. Right? So, he says, I'm disgusted with your students. Then I came from the forecourt right to your office. And none of them greeted me. So first I just apologized. I'm sorry about the bad behavior. Right? But then I asked him, see, do you come in with your topi or without your topi? He said, no, without my topi. So now, how should they make out that you're a Muslim or a non-Muslim? Because if a non-Muslim, right, if he greeted you with namaste, what? Namaste, right? If he greeted, then you will take exception to it. You won't like it. Will you like that? You will take exception to it. So then, non-Muslim will take an exception to salam. You will take an exception to namaste, right? He will take an exception to salam. So now, what does the child do? He's got an impressionable mind, and he feels now that I don't want to intimidate. I'm going to use this word here, this person may feel intimidated, right? So how to avoid? So he won't greet you like how he will greet a Muslim. But now, how important it is to maintain our identity. Appear also as a Muslim. See, in Surah Takwir, Allah Pak says, وَإِذَنْ نُفُوسُ زُوْوِجَتْ. When people will be grouped, right? So how will they be grouped? Grouped with the people that you associated and loved. Now, you love Nike and all these people, right? So, now, on the day of Qiyamah, if you are grouped with these people here, will you appreciate that? Because, إِذَنْ نُفُوسُ زُوْوِجَتْ, right? People will be grouped together. But grouped together how? By the people that you loved, you cherished, and you respected. So, you like this type of clothing, this type of people, right? Then, if you are grouped with these people, so the minimum you can do is at least appear to be a Muslim. Wherever you are, appear to be a Muslim, and don't feel ashamed of your Islam. If you see a Muslim in a crowd, then identify, recognize, and make salam to him openly, clearly, right? Because you don't see a non-Muslim, right, feeling ashamed of greeting that kafir with the words good morning or good evening. Does he feel ashamed? He doesn't feel ashamed. So he's on batil, and he doesn't feel ashamed. Then why should you feel ashamed when you are on haq? See the need to understand our elders. Our elders, they understood the Sahaba Kiram. And now this all what I'm telling is from them. So they understood the Sahaba Kiram, and their understanding was profound, correct, and on the mark. Right? For us, it will take us time, zamanas, to get to that level of understanding. Allah Baktofi Recipe.